Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí say new cross-border travel fines will help them enforce COVID-19 restrictions. However, business owners in border areas are fearful of how the new travel fines will impact on trade. Letterkenny 2040, a flagship initiative of Project Ireland 2040, has been launched today. And Donegal County Council is urging people in Donegal to make necessary preparations ahead of a potential severe weather event later this week. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. First in news, Gardaí say new cross-border travel fines will help them enforce COVID-19 restrictions. From today, anyone who isn't ordinarily resident in the Republic can be fined €100 for non-essential travel. Each adult in a car will be issued with a fine, not just the driver. Donegal Garda and Vice President of the Garda Representative Association, Brendan O'Connor, says this will allow officers, particularly in border areas, apply more equal measures.
People who are coming as day trippers, the legislation didn't apply. So that did present significant difficulties for some members in some locations, and the guards would be called out because there were concerns with social distancing, and we're saying to people maybe who live 8 kilometres away that they have to leave, and someone who lives 100 kilometres away could just continue as is, and we didn't have that enforcement option. So that caused a bit of difficulty.
However, business owners in border areas are fearful of how the new travel fines will impact on trade. Jared Crawford runs a petrol station in Lifford and says there is a lot of anxiety surrounding the new penalties.
Work-wise, family-wise, there's people on both sides of the town. In a case of your mother or father could live in Strabane, you could be living in Lifford. And people are scared, they don't know what's going to happen. It'll definitely affect business. Like, it's going forward. When people are in the habit of coming to you, as soon as this happens, how long before they come back? Are they going to say, I can't go out? Could be a month before we see somebody again. Like.
Well, Sarah, who lives in Donegal, says she felt apprehensive about crossing the border into Derry for work this morning. She says there are many people crossing the border each way daily for legitimate reasons and feels that the new rules could cause chaos. She told today's 9 till noon show that she believes not enough consultation has taken place.
My nervousness this morning coming to work was more around the fact that, because I was born and raised in Derry, it's more around the fact that the people of the north as well feel, you know, a bit hard done by, I suppose, and that they haven't been considered in this in regards to, you know, the fact that Donegal drivers or DL cars, as they're known, will be in Derry, you know, and it's nervous for us now driving across the border, knowing that our neighbours are essentially not welcome and they're going to be fined in our area. I know it's for health reasons, but I'm not sure if the government has actually talked to anybody that lives on the border. For me, it was going to sleep last night and feeling a bit nervous about crossing the border, number one.
Yeah.
You know, because even though the guard was lovely this morning and, you know, they asked the purpose of the journey and I said I'm going to work and they flagged me on. But, you know, it's the potential animosity of people that they feel, you know, that there's a Donegal rage in the car park and why are they allowed up here and not being fined, and unfortunately our neighbours in the north aren't allowed down south because they'll be fined. So, you know, there's legitimate reasons for people crossing the border every day. Whenever you're crossing the border, you don't, it's not a border to me personally, you know, it's just driving across the road.
Making COVID-19 vaccines mandatory for healthcare workers would be ineffective, according to the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. Some nursing home staff have declined offers for the vaccine, though the HSE says the uptake is still extremely good. A risk assessment is carried out on staff who refuse a vaccine and they may be redeployed if necessary. Liam Herrick from the ICCL believes ensuring healthcare workers have accurate information about the vaccine is vital.
In Ireland, generally in the health sector, we have not had mandatory policies about vaccines in the past because they're seen as being counterproductive. That providing accurate, clear information to people is the most effective way to secure take-up. And we've no reason to believe that that's different in this scenario.
Meanwhile, more than 330,000 vaccines have been administered in the north. Over 303,000 were first doses and more than 27,400 were second doses. It comes as 12 additional COVID-related deaths were recorded in Northern Ireland and 296 people have tested positive for the virus there over the last 24 hours. There's been a very slight drop in the number of people in receipt of the pandemic unemployment payment in Donegal. A total of €144.6 million will be paid out in PUP to over 481,000 people this week. 16,421 people in Donegal will receive the payment, while 246 people in the county closed their PUP claim this week. Meanwhile, 3,973 people will receive the COVID-19 enhanced illness benefit in Donegal. A year on from the general election, a number of Fianna Fáil TDs have said they would consider working with Sinn Féin to form the next government. Micheál Martin refused to negotiate with Mary Lou MacDonald after the 2020 election result. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Around this time last year, most of the politicians had cast their ballots and done their polling centre photo shoots and were settling in for the agonising wait until the exit poll. The results threw Irish politics on its head, and even now the parties are only still finding their feet, having also been blindsided by COVID-19. Fianna Fáil's review of its poor election performance is still not done, and the process being led by Junior Minister Sean Fleming will have to be comprehensive if the parties to recover and avoid a slide towards the political sidelines. Sinn Féin concluded what most punters could see straight after the votes came in. They needed to run more candidates. Mary Lou MacDonald could field twice the number of runners and riders next time around and make serious gains. Fine Gael are arguably the happiest of the government parties despite the poor result a year ago. Riding high in the polls, they've set themselves up as the anti-Sinn Féin, the closest Ireland's come to a traditional left-right divide. The Green Party struggling with the realities of power and infighting, as Labour, the Social Democrats and Solidarity People Before Profit eye up their votes and disaffected members. And while the next election is likely still ages away, it's never really far from the mind of any politician. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Letterkenny 2040, a flagship initiative of Project Ireland 2040, has been launched today. Donegal County Council has launched the process to develop a regeneration strategy for Letterkenny Town Centre, funded by the Urban Regeneration and Development Fund and led by the Council's Regeneration and Development Team. The strategy aims to establish a compelling and ambitious vision for the future of the town as a competitive regional centre. Greg Hughes has more.
In keeping with Project Ireland 2040, the strategy will seek to make Letterkenny a more attractive and vibrant place where people choose to live, work, invest and visit. This is likely to include a drive towards more people living and working in the town centre while promoting sustainable forms of transport. It will also include actions to create better public spaces. Three phases of public engagement are planned during the year-long process to develop the strategy. The first will commence on the 8th of February for a period of 4 weeks. This will be an opportunity for everyone to have their say from the outset. In particular, the council is keen to hear about Letterkenny Town Centre today, its strengths and weaknesses and the priorities for its future. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, engagement will take place online through a project website and social media channels. The public are asked to visit letterkenny2040.ie, where they can find out more about the project and complete an online survey.
Rents are said to be largely stable in Donegal, rising 0.4% in the final 3 months of 2020. According to the latest report by Daft.ie, the average listed rent in the county is now €665, up 37% from its lowest point. Rents in the three Ulster counties rose 1.7% year-on-year, reflecting a sharp fall in availability. Just 63 homes were available to rent on February the 1st, down over 60% compared to a year ago. The report's author, Professor Ronan Lyons of Trinity College, says the market for rental property is still very broken.
In most of the country, with the exception of Dublin, there's still an incredible scarcity of rental accommodation. There aren't enough rental homes on the market, and that's pushed rents up. Now, as you mentioned, in Donegal, rents are close to stable. They're up, but only just about 0.5% year on year. Now, when you look at the path of rents in Donegal over the last couple of years, that is actually an improvement in the situation, improvement meaning that rents have had been falling and have now stabilised and are rising slightly. So if anything, the problems of shortage that are afflicting much of the country are coming to Donegal. I think Donegal had been affected more by other issues, in particular Obviously, the threat of Brexit and the disruption that may bring, and then more recently being quite badly affected with COVID. Both of those would affect the demand side, but certainly the supply side is quite weak.
Do you foresee then the aftermath and the effects of the pandemic to worsen this problem further?
Well, I think the danger would be for policymakers to look at Dublin, to see rents falling in Dublin and to say, well, there we go, problem solved. All it took was a pandemic, but the rental market's fine now. And of course, that's not true. There's a different situation there. But COVID has seized up the rental market further outside the main cities, not just Dublin, but the other big cities as well. There are so few properties now. In some counties, there are fewer than 10 properties available to rent at any particular point in time.
Donegal County Council is urging people within the county to make necessary preparations ahead of a potential severe weather event later this week. A weather warning is already in place for the entire country for low temperatures, frost and icy patches. The council, however, says there is a possibility of a weather warning for snow and ice being issued by Met Éireann for Thursday. Eamon Torsney has more.
Accumulations of between 5 centimetres and 10 centimetres of snow could arrive on Thursday. Donegal County Council is urging people to make the necessary preparations ahead of the event and to ensure essential household provisions, particularly for the elderly and vulnerable, are in place. Donegal County Council's Severe Weather Assessment Team are continuing to monitor the situation and will provide additional updates if conditions deteriorate further. Motorists are being asked to take extra care on the roads during the heavy snowfall and to be mindful of the potential risk of frost and snow accumulations. It's expected that these conditions will remain in place up to and including next weekend.
The government has defended the rate of a new transition pension payment, saying it's higher than in other countries. People who have to retire at 65 will no longer have to sign on as job seekers while waiting for access to their pensions a year later. But opposition parties have criticised the move as the same payment under a different name. Social Protection Minister Heather Humphrey says it will make things easier for those claiming transition payments.
That the payment rate of 203 is higher than what is paid in several other jurisdictions, such as Northern Ireland, where the state pension age has been increased from 65 to 66. And this is part of what we said in the programme for government, that we would give a payment to 65-year-olds who had to retire the equivalent of the job seeker's benefit, which is 203 per week.
Sport in Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for home workouts at michaelmurphysports.ie with free nationwide delivery.
Time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer. Kosovar Siddiqui is the latest player to re-sign for Finn Harps ahead of the 2021 season. The defender was a key player for the club last season, appearing 18 times in all competitions. Siddiqui signed with Harps on loan from Hibernians FC in January 2020. After being released by his parent club during the summer, he opted to remain with Harps for the return to play in August and is once again now committed to another term with the Ballybuffet side. Well, Cork City and local rivals Cove Ramblers will clash at Turner's Cross, and it's the standout tie of the opening round of games in the SSE Air Trustee First Division, which gets underway next month. The fixtures have been confirmed today for the campaign, which starts on Friday, March 26th. While fellow relegated side from the Premier Division last season, Shelburne, they're on the road on the opening night. They head to Imondici Park to face Galway United. West Ham's Thomas Souček will be eligible to play in their FA Cup fifth round tie against Manchester United tomorrow. The midfielder's controversial late red card from the Premier League game on Saturday evening was overturned today. Referee Mike Dean sent him off for violent conduct after consulting the pitch side monitor. Hammers boss David Moyes says the incident has left him feeling disappointed with the game.
Every footballer's got a responsibility to do the correct thing. But at the moment, I feel that officials are giving footballers the opportunity to gain success in some way from their actions, and the only people who can stop it are the officials.
Well, meanwhile, Mike Dean has asked not to be involved in any Premier League matches next weekend after death threats against him were sent to family members, which have been reported to police. There's one game on the pitch tonight in the Premier League. Leeds are at home to Crystal Palace. Kick-off at Elland Road is at 8 o'clock, and a win for either side would move them up to 10th in the table. Daniel Kinahan has insisted that he has no links to a criminal gang and has denied involvement in threats set to journalists following a BBC Panorama documentary about his involvement in boxing. In a statement released to TalkSport this morning, the 43-year-old confirmed that he is still involved in organising some of the sport's biggest fights. Last year, world heavyweight champion Tyson Fury thanked him for his involvement in reaching an agreement for a fight with Anthony Joshua. Shortly after that, Fury's team announced Kinahan would no longer negotiate for him. Today's statement directly contradicts claims that he stepped away from the sport and MTK Global. Kinahan has no previous convictions, but was named in the High Court as a senior figure in an organised crime gang. Donegal's Ciarán Erwin is set for a major step up the motorcycle racing ladder in 2021 as he progresses into the British Superstock 1000 Championship. Having had his best season to date in the Superstock 600 in 2020, Erwin will stay in the British Superbike paddock and will continue with the Astro JJR team, which he rode for so successfully last year. Running with the Astro team, he will be part of a three-bike effort using BMW machinery. The Super 1000 class is the biggest and most competitive of the British Superbike Support Championships. The championship will be placed over 11 events with two races per weekend starting in May. In tennis, defending men's champion Novak Djokovic is into the second round of the Australian Open. The world number one beat Jeremy Chardy of France by 3-0 in the opening day in Melbourne. Last year's beaten finalist Dominic Thiem is also into round two, along with seven-time winner Serena Williams and 2019 champion Naomi Osaka. The uncertainty over when GAA intercounty teams will be allowed to return to training remains. Level 5 restrictions will stay in place until March 5th. It's all depending on COVID-19 case numbers falling to what is seen as an appropriate level. Going by a summary of points attributed to the National GAA COVID Committee at Croke Park, which appeared on social media over the weekend, the feeling is that case numbers are not falling quick enough. Indeed, it is thought that it could be after Easter, in the second or third week of April, that intercounty games might be allowed to be played. The circular also makes reference to 2020 club competitions, which still have to be completed. And it says that the likelihood of completing those competitions has not been ruled out, but it is decreasing week by week. The Donegal Senior Championship from last year is among those club competitions still to be completed, with the final between Kilcar and Neve Connell still to be played. In Formula One, world champion Lewis Hamilton has signed a new one-year contract with Mercedes. The British driver will go for an eighth title when the new campaign gets underway in Bahrain next month. And American football legend Tom Brady says he'll be back after inspiring the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to victory in the NFL Super Bowl last night. The oldest man ever to play in the history of the event helped his side to a 31-9 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. And by all accounts, it looks as if Brady's not done yet. And that's it from the sports desk for today, Michaela. As usual, we'll be back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. And we're turning to some news. People are being urged to have a rethink when buying a pet during the pandemic. There's been a big uptick in dog ownership, coinciding with an increase in people working from home. However, there's concerns some people may not have considered the long-term responsibilities of having a pet. Senior Inspector with the ISPCA in Donegal, Kevin McGinley, says when the country starts to exit lockdown, people may not have as much spare time.
I mean, it's fantastic to see that so many people have taken on the responsibility of dog ownership through the months of COVID and so on and so forth. My genuine concern would be, you know, have people put enough thought into this? I hope that they have, and please God that turns out to be the case. But there is a genuine fear here that, you know, when things return to normal, maybe that dog may be it may suffer as a result of, you know, what we're after talking about, the amount of time that people have been able to devote to the dog in particular, you know.
Meanwhile, dog owners are being urged to take every measure in order to prevent their pet from potentially attacking sheep during lambing season. Attacks are said to cause real and serious injury to sheep and can have a financial and emotional impact on the farmers and families involved. A total of 253 incidents of livestock worrying were reported to local authorities in 2019. Nigel Renahan, regional chairman of the IFA for Ulster, is urging owners to secure their dog and have it microchipped. He says if a flock is being threatened, the farmer has a right to shoot the dog.
This is a time of year where a lot of people's sheep will be lambing down. And we've run into problems where people with dogs aren't microchipped, and dogs are coming out worrying sheep, and because the worrying sheep, the leaving sheep are lying on their backs that they can't get up and causing damage and destroying sheep. Now, the one thing I will say is that, you know, the farmers are, we are entitled under the law to defend their livestock. And if the flock has been threatened, you know, the law does allow us to shoot the dogs. Now, we don't want this. But the trouble is that there's so many dogs running around the countryside now, and especially with the COVID, that a lot of people have bought dogs and are taking dogs out for a walk. And even though your dog may be a really nice pet, whenever you open that door in the evening time or let the dog out for a walk, or even when you're going out for a walk, the dog runs out, runs across fields and puts sheep into corners of fields, and sheep are destroyed and sheep are killed. Now, we have to remember, we are farmers, and this is a very busy time of the year for us in relation to lamb and sheep. And it's the time where we potentially get our income because of the lambs, of the sheep lambing, and we don't want that destroyed.
People affected by the COVID-19 pandemic can avail of the opportunity to reinvest their livelihoods and careers as a result of the Uteras na Gaeltachta Apprenticeship Scholarship Scheme. Over 50 scholarships worth more than €2,000 each are available to assist people who wish to learn a trade or undertake a new career. The scheme encompasses 12 various sectors, which covers 59 different apprenticeships, all of which are recognised by SOLIS and open to the Gaeltacht community for applicants who are fluent in Irish. Qualifications are awarded at level 6 upwards at 2 degree standard. Uteras na Gaeltachta CEO is Micheál O'Haney.
There's been a long tradition of this in Uteras. Maybe we still concentrate on all of the old traditional skills, building skills, plumbing, electricians and so on, but there are new skills that are coming to the fore as well, new types of apprenticeships that people are interested in, and we're interested in hearing from people who might have an interest in those sectors as well.
And not only is it beneficial to the people who are taking up the apprenticeships, but to the companies as well, I'm sure.
Very much so. I think it's a win-win situation, in as much as the apprentices get invaluable experience and the companies get access to very eager, skilled people that are undertaking the apprenticeship programs. And I think if you look through our Gaeltacht companies at present, you'll see not only working in the companies, but some of those leading companies would have started out their work life as apprentices under this scheme. So there's no doubt about it. There's apprenticeships are things that we're hoping to direct more and more people towards over the coming years, because we have some excellent companies in the Gaeltacht region, in the Donegal Gaeltacht, that require apprentices to come on board to learn the skills and to take up good employment in these companies. So it's something that we're going to put a renewed emphasis on, and we'd be very interested in hearing from people who might wish to go down this road, and we're there to assist them in any way that we can.
The Donegal Education and Training Board is to benefit from funding of over €250,000. The funding was secured as part of Budget 2021 to support community education for adult learners. The money will go towards providing the Donegal ETB with devices and software to improve their online learning capacity. Minister Charlie McConlogue says the funding comes at a great time.
This €283,000 now to further enable the ETB to develop its online capacity for engaging with learners, I think will be really positive, and it is going to be aimed at trying to provide opportunities to those who have had a disadvantaged situation from education previous to now, and to offer them new opportunities to engage and upskill.
Weather now. Tonight will be very cold, with showers of sleet and snow becoming more frequent. Lowest temperatures of -3 to +1 degree, with widespread sharp frost and icy stretches forming. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, Gardaí say new cross-border travel fines will help them enforce COVID-19 restrictions. Donegal Garda and Vice President of the Garda Representative Association, Brendan O'Connor, says this will allow officers in border areas particularly to apply more equal measures. Meanwhile, business owners in border areas are fearful of how the new travel restrictions will impact on trade. Ger Crawford runs a petrol station in Lifford and says there is a lot of anxiety surrounding the new penalties. A year on from the general election, and a number of Fianna Fáil TDs have said they would consider working with Sinn Féin to form the next government. Micheál Martin refused to negotiate with Mary Lou McDonald after the 2020 election result. And Donegal County Council is urging people across the county to make necessary preparations ahead of a potential severe weather event later this week. A weather warning is already in place for the entire country, but the council says there is a possibility of a weather warning for snow and ice being issued by Met Éireann from Thursday. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, February the 8th. The death has taken place in England of Vincent Tinney, formerly Kiltall Convoy. Cremation to take place in England this week, with funeral and burial to be arranged in Convoy at a later date. The death has taken place of Jim Canny, 8 Portseal Ballyrain, Letterkenny. Mass can be viewed at 12 noon on Wednesday from the Church of the Irish Martyrs Ballyrain Facebook page. Burial afterwards in Lex Cemetery. Due to ongoing HSE and government restrictions, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Lizzie Greer, Glenlower, Remelton. Requiem Mass in St Peter's Church, Milford, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, followed by interment in Tully Cemetery. Due to government restrictions, wake, mass and funeral are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Milford. And the death has taken place of Thomas Cook, Tommy, late of Barry Street, Derry. Due to ongoing restrictions, the wake and funeral are strictly private for immediate family only.